This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, this is Saturday Magazine, Joy's 94.9's flagship news, current affairs and lifestyle programme. A healthy mix of local and national news, current affairs, and lifestyle stories, all framed with a queer perspective. Good morning, I'm Paul, and it's Saturday the 31st of August, and I'm joined in the studio by Fiona Brooke. Good morning, Fiona.
Oh, good morning. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. I would like to pay my respects and honour the elders from the diverse LGBTI communities who work tirelessly and diligently to promote the health, well-being and justice of our people, their families and their communities. And I would also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and pay our respects to elders past and present.
Later on in the program, we'll be talking to John Ryan, who's the CEO of the Pennington Institute, about the increase in accidental drug overdoses or unintentional. Tonight... Melbourne, and it is possible there will be some other capital cities involved in this, will actually be some significant buildings will be lit up in purple to recognise and to pay tribute to the families of people that have lost loved ones through unintentional overdoses. And you'll have buildings like... Fed Square, Melbourne Town Hall, the Amy Park. So if you are out and about in Melbourne and you see a whole lot of buildings lit up in purple, that is why. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that after at 11 o'clock. And then, of course, we have a march today down, I'm assuming, down Bourke Street.
That's where they normally are.
That's where they normally are, because we can hear them from our studio. We can hear the chants and things like that. So there is a march today that's been organised by Ali Hogg and Roz Ward. Roz was involved in the Safe Schools. And Ali is a marriage equality campaigner, which will be marching against the religious discrimination bill.
Religious exemptions bill, yeah. And those draft bills have actually come through, and they're waiting for submissions to be sent back by the 2nd of October. But I think there's a general concern. I think you just got to think about the attitude. We talked jokingly in the intro about the gender toilet sign that was in the Prime Minister's office and his view that that sign had to be taken down. It's just, you've got to question still the validity of this bill going through and whether existing legislation covers the key points of discrimination, because I'm not so sure this is actually required.
Well, I mean, I think that there is definitely... I mean, we've had a lot of different people on the program over the last 12 months, certainly since the marriage equality debate. And I think one of the things that everyone and many people have said is there is actually enough anti-discrimination laws that already exist to not warrant additional exemptions. And, you know, it is a very, very complex issue. I mean, very high profile, of course, with some of the people that have been involved, such as Israel Folau. It's a very complicated issue, I think, because whenever I hear people trying to explain it, I get really confused. Last night I was watching Patricia Cavalis on her Friday night show called The Fix, and she was explaining, she had the wonderful Sally Rugg on, as well as a number of other people, and the effects that it can have. So she, on many different aspects of the community, is, you know, it's many layered. I mean, it means that people will not be able to discriminate against a Muslim person because of their religion, but while saving one sort of group, you're sacrificing another group being the LGBTIQ community. So the many, many layers, and I know that it's complex, and I don't know how it's going to all end up.
And I think it's quite wide-ranging. So when you actually start to get under the detail of what it says it's trying to provide a shield by prohibiting discrimination on the basis of religious belief or activity in the following areas of public life. Now just listen to this list. Work, education, access to premises, goods, services and facilities, accommodation, land, sport and clubs. That just covers every single facet of our lives. And if it means that, you know, you could be quite liberally allowed to discriminate against a person if it contradicts your religious beliefs, and that cannot be acceptable in any shape or sound.
Well, I mean, it's been described as a license to hate, and I think that we don't know where it's going to fall. There's going to be a lot of debate before it actually comes into being, and we'll see what the submissions come through. I think that a lot of people have been galvanised by the election of Scott Morrison as a Christian who seems to have a very strong distaste for, as we know, many of the comments that he's made about gender. So I guess that people have been galvanised to see their support, his support in this area. But, you know, he doesn't have the final say. There's a lot of people that are involved in this, and it's going to have a fundamental change in the way Australia is formed going forward.
Yeah.
So that's why it's such an important issue.
And I think it'll struggle in the upper house. I mean, if you think about the votes, it was 26 to 14 in terms of the change to birth certificates here in the upper house in Victoria. They have to change lots of hearts and minds across all political parties to try and get that legislation passed. And I don't think it's going to go down without a massive fight, because you're right, it's a fundamental shift in how we treat people.
So I do think that we do have a lot of people to fight with, because in that regard, because with the New South Wales, what we've seen in New South Wales really just recently about the decriminalisation of abortion is really, it's absolutely shocking, the fight that they have to put up in New South Wales to get something as what should be a really straightforward human right to decriminalise abortion. And, you know, you've got people like Ben Fordham on, I think it's 2GB, asking Gladys Berejiklian, the Premier of New South Wales, if she would in fact consider having an abortion, which is just disgusting. I mean, of course, you don't expect really much else from shock jocks in New South Wales, but there is quite a lot of fight to go through in that particular area.
And I just don't think it's that simple as well, Fiona, because not only that, this would allow a doctor to make sure that they could refuse to perform not just things like abortions, but assisted suicide procedures for transgender patients. And there's a whole bunch of medical procedures that the doctors could just refuse to do. Now, you know, you'd like to think that the doctors go into their profession because they want to help people and they want to make people's lives better. And this act just goes completely against the grain of what their mental state is. And also, they did this in America as well. The Trump administration introduced something similar this year. So that there is a trend globally about trying to actually increase religious hatred.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do see it actually across a lot of nations around the world, where there is a shift in this direction.
Now, Fiona, we have managed to kick Macra out of the studio. We thought...
I know.
For a week, so we could do a quick Saturday Magazine takeover.
But no.
He's in the studio already.
Well, I'm actually, I am, because there's an issue that I wanted to talk about, which is the ambulance, the paramedic situation, and that knuckle-dragging scroat that assaulted Monica, the paramedic. Monica's off work due to PTSD and some injuries, hasn't been back to work. Look, the judge interpreted the law as the judge is entitled to interpret the law. Mm. I would say he took a fairly generous view of the exemption for mental illness. Problem is, the law is flawed, and the government acknowledges that, but I actually think... what we've got here is a situation. The Premier has said that he would encourage the DPP to appeal. Now, I believe in the independence of the judiciary. Mm-hmm. So, number one, I think that's a bit of a... if the DPP believes there's grounds to appeal, they will. They won't be influenced by the Premier or by the Attorney-General. Of course, they'll take those views into account. But the reality is the law is flawed, and it's flawed, and the government acknowledges that. They do not need to wait for this appeal, right? They can actually change the law now. Now, the Parliament was sitting Thursday and Friday. It's also sitting the week after next. The opposition acknowledge also the law is flawed. They could actually amend the law, and they will say, oh, we'll wait for the appeal. You know what? Don't be piss weak, Premier. Don't be piss weak, Jill Hennessy, Attorney General. This is about people being safe at work. You made a commitment to emergency services workers. You now acknowledge that the law was not applied in the way in which met the intent of the Parliament. Well, guess what? You are the Parliament, and you can change it, and you can change it now. You don't need to sit on your hands for months waiting for the DPP and the 8,500 people in the Department of Justice to actually do something. You can do it.
What do you think is going to take for them to make that action? Is it the union that's going to have to force them or work hard on trying to enforce that?
Look, I think public opinion. Neil Mitchell's show on Thursday, I spoke on that. Neil devoted nearly an hour of his show to this issue. Public opinion is with the AMBOs. And think back to when the AMBOs were in an industrial dispute with the previous Liberal government and they started painting the ambulances with messages. Well, those messages are appearing again. Those messages and that industrial dispute, I believe, cost the Liberal Party government, cost them the election.
Wow.
Ambulance employees, they have very, very stressful jobs. They work long hours, and often those hours are extended because, you know, they've got patients in the ambulance or they're ramped at the hospital, as it's called. Yes, they're well paid, and that's a result of industrial action, but this is about safety at work. And I say to you, if it was a judge that was attacked, right, and even in that, if there were, you know, the judges who were sentencing someone that attacked a judge, they would find a way to put that person in jail. It's just not acceptable. It's a double standards, and it's piss weak.
And I think, Macca, just shows how much you're passionate about this topic for coming in on your day off. We've got Tony Walker, who's going to be on the line in our first segment this morning. I just want to ask a quick question here. Apparently, there was a report this week in the press about a Mr. Paluzzo who actually telephoned...
To congratulate the Australian Federal Police for raiding a journalist. And he said, look, you know, it's just a professional courtesy. Mike, you... do your job so well. Your department has the lowest level of staff engagement of any federal government department. You are more responsible than anyone for the mistreatment of refugees in this country. You should be ashamed of yourself. And press freedom, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.